So we're in for a special treat today. And if I understand it right, Ernest was in California this week? Or where was it, Ernest? Where? And you landed yesterday? We'll talk about it. Okay. All right. Well, anyway, welcome Ernest Dyke, Reverend Ernest Dyke.
You need me? Okay. He'll be turning me down here in a second anyways. My granddaughter reminded me the other day that I'm loud. I'm loud. Okay. Anyways, it's fun to be back in your presence. No, we did not go to California. We had many things happen. Plus, they postponed the activity till later in the year. We're still waiting on that. But we had many issues and tissues to take care of this week, and God's been good, and we're able to be here with you this morning. If you notice the bulletin, it has a different name in it. That doesn't matter. I'm a no name, and I'll go with it. You can call me Richard. Okay. And
it's funny. Both Paul and I together.
Yeah, it does happen, and like my wife and I would send out prayer letters, and one of us would do the initial draft, and then the other one would look at it and bounce it back and forth, and that happens. That totally happens, and even in the books that I've written, I occasionally there's an editorial item that later on was, how did that miss so many eyes? But it happens, anyways, it's good to see you. It's good to see some newer faces. I'd also like to introduce my family. They decided to join us. My granddaughter walked out that way. The other grandson sitting here, Emma, Dalen, my daughter, Eileen, her husband's up in Indianapolis taking care of some family business. And his dad, Paul Miller, is with us. And then we have a friend visiting as well, Ashley. And so I love it when they join. Okay. Anyways, I'm just going to give you a little context to this door. Okay. If you follow a calendar, and there's many versions of calendars, I think there's like 63 different types of calendars around the world. There's a Chinese calendar, and there's a whole bunch of African countries have their own calendar. And there's the Julian calendar that was used for a long time. There's a Gregorian calendar. Oh, that's the one we write our checkbook with. Okay, that's the one we use in everyday life. But there's a biblical calendar. It starts in Exodus chapter 12. And that and this week is actually Passover. We're still in Passover. Okay, and with the Passover, a few years ago, somebody that my daughter calls brother, and I call son, and he calls me dad. And but he's not blood related. This is what we do in Venezuela when it's not blood. He and his wife, and my wife and I, we were sitting in our apartment in Venezuela, and we turned the clock backwards. Went, okay. If the biblical calendar is this, then let's look at how this would look like way back at Jesus' time. And what day of the week really was the resurrection? And we know that he died on the 14th, and you count 4 days, 14, 15, 16, 17, he has to be alive on the 18th. Friday this week was the 18th of Nisan, because the Passover is on the 14th of Nisan. So on Friday was the 18th of Nisan. And I was working through a whole bunch of ideas, concepts, and the Lord gave me this passage that we have before us. And so he is risen. He's risen indeed. And the slide that I didn't put in, Mike, was the one when Effie and I, in 2018, we were at the tomb. In May of 2018, we were at the tomb. Coming out of that tomb, I said, I looked. I couldn't find him. He's not there. I looked again. I couldn't see him. He's gone. It's a good thing. He's gone. Right? Well, so having said that, because my wife and I, we do this reading every year. We read through the Bible. I didn't even think about the fact that today was the day that we would actually read the passage that I'm preaching from. I was working on it all week, and this morning I went, Effie, you know what we're reading? And we finished reading through the Gospels, and we read this passage this morning. And it's in John chapter 20, verse 19 through 23. I think it's, you have it before you. It'll be a little bit on the small side, but I think we can get it. So, interesting beginning. So, when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said, peace be with you. And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. His disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained. We'll stop the reading there. This story starts with one word. So. It indicates that there's something that has happened before this. It's in the middle of the story, and all of a sudden it's so. This week had been horrible. Absolutely horrible. We pull out the newspaper, and I stopped taking the newspaper a long time ago when we were still living in Venezuela. Because, one, I didn't want the whole dirty on mine, so I would read. But you listen to the evening news, or you pull out the newspaper. It's full of bad news. And I don't think these disciples could have had any worse news than they had that week. For the disciples, everything had changed. Now, they were behind a door. You know, doors are for hiding. Therefore, for just getting away or protecting yourself, you know, you don't want to be seen. It's a safe place, potentially. And to hide behind the door was what they were doing. That meeting that afternoon on a Sunday, there they were in Jerusalem. You know, it did not start out that well for them. It had been a challenging time. Now, that hour, interesting enough, was about 5:53. Again, that same adopted son and I, we rolled back with that clock. We went, okay, in Jerusalem, when does sundown happen on that 18th of Nisan? Back at the time of Jesus. And it would have been about 5:53 in the evening. You can take her. It's more or less, okay? But we know it was basically sunset in Jerusalem. Whatever hour it was sunset. It had been a long day and really a long week. It had been disappointing. It had been surprising. So many curveballs thrown at him. It had been amazing, but actually an extremely frightening week. Everything that seemed to be opening for them now was just slammed shut. Everything was lost. Stay there. Now those followers gathered behind a closed door, not knowing what was going to happen next. Not so much faith at this point. They didn't even have a cause anymore. Their cause had been blown apart. It was gone. And so at the end of that day, after the Sabbath, Jesus' disciples, you know, they obviously had been hearing some rumors. You know, the Romans are looking for the disciples of Jesus. Oh, those Jewish leaders, they were, let's go get them. Let's exterminate all of this before it can really erupt anything more. Some of them had even gone to that borrowed tomb, and that borrowed tomb there, they had looked in, and Jesus is not here. Wonder what happened. You know, and they noticed that Jesus' body gone. Oh, man. Now what? We had lived for this guy. We'd followed him, and now it's just gone. Everything's gone, lost. There was great confusion in the atmosphere. And now this group of men that were once thinking that they were going to be the kingdom riders, they were going to take and conquer the kingdom, now all of a sudden they're huddled behind a closed door. No plans, no purpose. No peace. Think about it. What if it had been you? What are the thoughts, emotions that are going through you at that moment? Huddled behind that closed door, thinking that the one that you had been following is no longer there. The meeting that Sunday starts in silence. I'm sure they're not talking much. The fear is painful. The disappointment of this little band behind that closed and locked door is immense. Fear was actually nothing new to them. Fear was part of these types. They'd been fearful in a boat with a little bit of wind. They'd been fearful in the garden when the soldiers came to arrest Jesus. They had been fearful, they're fearful now in the upper room. They had this going on in their life. There were a few other places they were fearful too. But everything changes when Jesus comes. Everything changes when Jesus comes. He arrives. His appearance was not anticipated, nor was it forewarned, because it seemed that Jesus does not come through the open door. All of a sudden it's, la la, here I am. No, not quite. Okay. But he arrives into the middle of this. I, for one, I would go run into the corner. I would be so freaked out. But there he is. One of the group, I mean, once this group was convinced that this was Jesus resurrected in the flesh, then these disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. You know what that word rejoice means? You know, publishers was to knock at your door and say, you have won. You know what publishers are. Maybe the kids don't do it today, but if a publisher was to knock at your door, what would be your expression that if you won? Yeah! Okay? I can still do it with these knees. I know. That's why I went here. That's why I went only till here. Okay? It is that leap of joy. With that rejoice. That's the Greek behind that word. And they were so filled with joy. They jumped. This interaction now with his disciples draws our attention to how he interacts with us. He wants this interaction. So that's not just about the disciples anymore. It's about us. I want you to put yourself into these pages and come for a ride with me on this. Let's go through that open door and see that Jesus has come. I got it. There's going to be a lot of mutuality and unity in this. There's three things that happened. Yeah, there we go. Three things that happened that evening. One, and this will be basically our outline, and you have it in your bulletin as well. The peace of Christ, that is the spiritual component, and then there's a physical or practical component, the evidence of Christ. The Spirit of Christ, the sending of Christ, the grace of Christ, and the church of Christ. So we have a spiritual and a practical part. Are you getting me? Okay. And so in each one of these. And each of these has an intriguing mix of those two things. Okay. So let's meditate on this and see what it means for the disciples. And who else did I include in this? Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, okay. Number one, the peace of Christ and the evidence of Christ. The first word out of Jesus' mouth, the first word to his disciples is shalom, peace. You know what peace means? Well-being, welfare, being in a good spot. Shalom. Peace. Peace be to you. And he doesn't just say it and pass it off. He actually says it twice. It's like, you knucklehead, you need to hear this. Okay? And it's tough sometimes to really realize that he has this for us. He has the peace. Peace that passes all understanding. I don't understand peace, but I can live in it. I can live in it. Just in case you missed it, let's say it again. Peace be with you. There has not been a lot of peace with this group. This group is anxious. They're guilty. They're frightened. They are beside themselves. Now what? Peter had publicly rejected the master, had denied him three times. And he had gone out and he was crying like a baby. James and John, just a little bit before, had said, hey, master, we would like you to do us a favor. Well, their mother actually intervened. Yeah, I can see a Venezuelan mother getting involved. Okay. Intervened and said, hey, could you give one son the left, the other the right in your kingdom? And at this point, they don't even want to be part of anything. They're hiding behind a closed door. It has become so, so small, that request. They realized, I'm done. No one wanted to be part of that inner circle now. Peter, James, and John had all been part of that. Now they're sort of on a different wavelength. Some of the group actually had different ideas of what should be done now. And we know that Thomas was not even present on this first visit of Jesus into the upper room coming through. He was doing his own thing. We don't know what he was doing, but he was not there. He was gone. And others probably had packed their bags and they were checking out and saying, I'm out of here. Well, we even know Peter said, I'm going fishing at one point. And he grabbed a whole bunch of guys with him and they went fishing. In the next passage to the one we were reading. Some were even thinking about the claim that Mary had about the life of Jesus or his body. That she had seen an empty tomb. Others were thinking that she was just off the rocker. It was time to take a lot of vitamin B. You know when I take vitamin B? When there's a stressful moment coming. Okay. It was time for a lot of vitamin B. This was high stress. It was just mammoth. The setting was so drastic. The situation was a loss. You know, we all respond to stress in different ways. Okay? I'll just walk you through a little bit of what I've come up with. Okay? Now, there's those, when they are in a stressful situation, they just want to party a little more. They want to have a little more fun. They want to, and they find some group of people, and they just want to be in this, get lost in the crowd, and actually be the center of the crowd. And they will be the jokesters and so forth. You know, that's, some of you might be that. Okay, let's try another one. Oh, there's those that will take an axe, and they'll start chopping wood, or they will take a baseball bat, bang, go bat in cage, and they'll be batting away. Or they'll find some activity just to detox from their stressful situation. Maybe that's you. Maybe that's me. Oh, there's those that like to read a big book. The biggest book in the world is War and Peace. And they will just get lost in reading and reading and not come up for air. They'll forget about eating. Maybe that's you. And there's one more. Oh, I just like to go to sleep. And I don't want to face the world at all. 2 days go by and they're still in bed. Whatever. Okay? Do I dare take a test to see which one of the four we are? Do I dare? Should I? I won't. My wife is telling me no, I best not. But we are one of the four most likely, or a combination, right? That I can ask, right? Okay. And let's see, where am I here? Well, let's get back to the point. Anyways, the point is there's so much stress going on and that we need peace. But Jesus is the one that brings true peace. He brings the shalom. Not the peace that is a cheap imitation. And it's just achieved by hiding behind a closed door. He confronts it. It's the peace that will overcome the world. And you come out and face the world. Peace be with you. Now, we talked about there was this spiritual part to it, but there's a practical part. The practical part is that Jesus shows his hands and his side. How is it that the resurrected Christ still has the scars? The scars are still there. You would have thought that it would be all gone. They were healed over, but there were scars. They weren't oozing blood still. There were scars. It was a reminder that he has this. He has this. He was dead. In order to have a resurrection, you have to have a death. Am I correct? Okay. And the fact that he resurrected gives us hope. He has this. And if he says peace, he means it. Peace be with you. And we can trust in him. Jesus is resurrected after all and for all. The The resurrection does not erase the total reality of things that have happened, like the scars. Without the resurrection, the crucifixion is nothing more than an unjust tragedy. But the fact that there was a resurrection, we now have reality. We have hope. The cross is our journey to that hope. The suffering is not the final word. The resurrection was. Okay? The risen Jesus can show the wounds he suffered and unjustly and has made us an offer that says, peace. Wow. I want that. I want that. Now keep in mind that suffering is not removed or melted away under the summer sun or with sugar. No, we cannot escape reality. The gospel is much more than that. Suffering, fear, weakness, loss, and the shame are transformed by the power of the resurrected Jesus, given to him by the Almighty, Eternal, Supreme, Sovereign Father. There's a new way, and that's peace. If we participated in the mission of God, the peace of Christ must be ours while we can be totally scarred and scared and damaged. But those deep scars, even though they're deep issues and tissues, they give us another way. We reject to hide behind a locked door. We need a face. This mad world, because we have come to Christ, we have seen and testify of that transformation. Thank you, Carrie, for that illustration about transformation. I just said to my wife, that's transformation all over again. Sand to pearl. What were the other two? Coal to diamond and worm to butterfly. That's transformation. Christ is expecting a transformation in our life, and he wants that to happen. We have seen, we can testify of that transformation. Peace be with you. Shalom. He came inside through a closed door, was present in their midst, showed his hands and his sides. He spoke. Share this testimony with an angry world. Some of you have been hurting. It's been a long week for us. We've had some moments of, where's that peace for us this week? But God's good. He got it. Everything's going to be all right, John. Okay? Everything's going to be all right. You need peace from Christ always. Let's go to point two. The Spirit of Christ and ascending of Christ. Throughout the gospel, according to John, we see something. And I like to just read some text and just journey with me as we go through John. I'm going to just jump from one text to another very quickly, okay? John 4:34. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. John 5:30, I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is judged, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. John 6:38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. John 7:28, then Jesus cried out in the temple, teaching and saying, you both know me and know where I am from, and I have not come of myself, but he who sent me is true, whom you do not know. John 12:44, Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me does not believe in me, but in him who sent me. John 17:3. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Jesus in prayer. He was praying. And he was actually at one point praying for you. In John chapter 17, he was praying for you, for those that will come. I'm in that mixed. But in that whole prayer, he says in John 17, 18, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. Are you getting it? He was a sent one. Jesus was sent to reveal the Father, to teach, to show, to collect his disciples, and now send them out. Even in his prayer to the Father before the crucifixion, Jesus puts it very clear that he will send his disciples, such as God sent him. Let me repeat that John 17, 18 again. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. Look at this group that he intends to send. It appears like, yeah, whoever said that, totally. That was a stuffy room full of anxiety. I mean, they probably hadn't bathed in a long time. They hadn't used deodorant. It would have been not a pleasant place. But he brings fresh air. He's going to breathe into there. The air of God. He breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Verse 22. True peace and not the fake copy made by impulse from instinct of self-preservation. So here's the question. How do you send a timid, sad, guilty group like this? Answer, with much help. Okay? So what was this help? It was the assistance of the power of the Holy Spirit. The departure of Jesus from the heavenly sanctuary and the peace with the unity of the Father must have in some way been our test, our trial. When we leave this presumed security zone to hide behind a locked door, there are so many things that are happening. What are some blocked doors in our life? I can list a few. There could be physical limitations. My granddaughter was trying to play chicken with me the other day in the park. She's running like a deer. And I said, I can't do that anymore. I am limited physically. My knees just don't do it. Now, let's go back 5-10 years. I would have made sure I kept up with her. But I can't do it anymore. That might be a blocked door. Or there might be emotional things going on that have blocked it for you to have peace. Or spiritual things, a heart matter, you know. Or it could be intellectual or mental. Okay? There are so many different areas of where... Do you think Jesus got this? Yes, he has. He wants to send peace to that. The risen Jesus sends his disciples into the world, which is slightly more friendly than it was for us today. I mean, it might not be as dangerous today, but it's not very friendly at times when we go out. Do you know what? But in that toxic atmosphere of the curse that still pollutes the air of this world, he sends us. He's given us the peace. Look at his wounds. They're for you. They're for you. They're for me. Peace. He has given you the same authorization and power to go out. Let's go to the last point. The grace of Christ and the church of Christ. We are the church. He's given us the grace. We have seen the peace of Christ and the Holy Spirit. And now all of a sudden there's mysterious keys to unlock the door. And anxiety and fear that might have hindered us while we're behind those doors. But coming out from behind There's a mission for us. And they are gifts from the risen Lord. These are the keys that we have no matter where we're going, what we're doing in life. We need to be His ambassadors. We enjoy a privilege of Him, and we cannot keep this in. We have to let this out. There might be briars, and boy, are there briars in our mountain up where we live. And there might be barricades, there might be barbs in this mad world. But there are other keys in the key ring that will open and close forgiveness. And these are the keys that Jesus would like you to take. After giving them the Holy Spirit, Jesus says to his disciples, if you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained. It would be a mistake to assume that Jesus is saying that he can't forgive anyone who refuses to forgive. No, actually, that kind of authority is not ours. It belongs to him. Jesus clearly shows that we have to take the responsibility of using the keys of grace, giving grace. If we retain, they will be retained. Boy, if we keep bundled up the issues, we're not going to be at peace. Here's our choice. We can open up the padlock and open the door and let it out. Guilt, shame, bitterness, remorse that we have so contained within. It's good to have a good, strong padlock on your house. Okay? Often, but we want to retain all the garbage as well. Maybe we need to take what those hoarder programs do and they clean out the, you know, we might be hoarders, okay? And don't point. We're all guilty somewhere, somehow, okay? Okay? And anyways, sometimes all this gets bundled, but we're not using the keys wisely. I went looking this morning. My daughter might recognize these keys. Do you recognize it? These are the keys, all of these keys I had to use to get into our apartment in Venezuela. Let's open the garage door. Nothing open. And anyways, each one of these had one purpose in our, but this one in particular is of interest maybe to you. That's why you're asking. There's a system of doors called multi-lock. Multi-lock in English. it has a tumbler that tumbles several times. And it's a bunch of bar. It's a bar door that's on the front of the next door. Okay? And so forth. These are actually to our apartment that we still have in Venezuela. And will I ever use them again? Probably not. Probably not. God has taken us away from that. But anyways, we had to leave that house behind. But anyways, the point is, Venezuela was one of the most insecure places to live. And we lived on 7th floor. We lived on the 7th floor of an apartment building. Okay? In Oregon, we left Venezuela, lived in Oregon for a few years. You left the keys in the car, dark house doors open. If you want to find Effie's brothers, you probably find a car that has keys in it. The tractor, whatever. You won't get very far, but don't try. And but basically, security was not an issue. We have become so burdened down, and we've locked ourselves. Oh, by the way, and then we also had a bar that went across. That had big loops welded on here, and you put this bar across to make sure that nobody would get in. Yeah. Yeah. Really. Okay. We have to use those keys wisely. Here's the implication for us, and I need to land this plane very quickly. Jesus said, the Father sent the whole Jesus Christ to save and not to condemn. He's not condemning you. He's come and said, peace be with you. By the way, and this is an aside, Richard steps beside the pulpit. Okay, I'll step aside for the pulpit for a moment. By the way, Jesus did not say that we should meet again the next week. They did, but he didn't say that here. Maybe they had hard of hearing, and they began to not remember. Remember, Thomas wasn't there that first week, and he arrives the next week. So they did meet again. But Jesus said to them, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And I'll get back to the text or to the issue. We're not invited to sit. We're invited to go. We're sent. We're sent. When you leave today, it's not that you're going into the secular world. You're not leaving your spiritual world behind. It's all bundled one and with the other. It's 24/7. My life has to be that of realizing that I have been transformed, and not just coming and sitting for an hour is going to make a difference in my life. We are not invited to gather, but to scatter. Not to sit, but sent. Do I make myself clear? We are witnesses to the power of God in us to make us different, renewed, transformed. Pain and suffering and all of that is behind. Peace be with you. Peace take to the world. Talk about this peace with others. Boy, I had an opportunity this last week to talk to somebody. He is a hard knock. Life has done him a lot of things. But it's an opportunity to keep working on him. Working on him. And I think he is. He's starting to use some expressions like, thank the Lord. I went, whoo, that's a big hurdle. Yeah. Why are you continuing behind closed doors? Has he not sent us? Say with me, not locked in, but sent out. I'll repeat it. Not locked in, but sent out. Why would you like to retain all of the garbage, the sins, and so forth? As Lamont says, and that's not you, Dalen. His middle name is Lamont. That's not you. That's like eating rat poison and waiting to see if the rat's going to die. You eat the poison, but the rat is still alive over there. It doesn't work that way. You have to let go. Don't retain it. Don't tie yourself up in all of this. Why? When Jesus has given us the key of release. Our mission as a church of Christ is not to stay and meet again next Sunday. Amen. Amen. It's 24/7. Engaging in the mission of transformation to reveal the peace and grace of Christ. To participate in the mission to preach freedom to the captives. Those that are locked in, they need you. They need your touch of what God's doing in your life. To be sent out, sent on a mission by Christ, he sent them. Pushed them out. Go! Get gone! He didn't give them very many options. That was the option. Be gone. To preach freedom to these captives or imprisoned. Paul talks about that as the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciling men to the Almighty. He sent them. We too, who have been hidden. Too locked in. Too, oh boy, I wanted to use a Spanish word. Escondido. Too hidden long, too long. We act like 007. You got that? You know what 007 is? James Bond. And except when we're gathered. Oh, we come. We're dressed in our best. We're gathered. But when we go out, oh, sometimes there is no distinction between us and the next guy. Because we're afraid. The world is waiting to see your transformation through the peace of Christ. Can you stand up with me for a second? Put the next slide on. I think it is. Yeah. Let's read this together. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Let's repeat that. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Shalom. Peace be on you. May the peace of Christ abide richly in you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your nail-scarred hands, your wounded side. But more than anything, thank you that you are risen and that you were risen indeed and have given us eternal peace, eternal life. Thank you. And may we be witnesses, testimony to that, of the transformation that has first occurred in our life, and that we can see that in the lives of others. Bless each one in their world that they are facing, the issues that they're facing, but that they might know your peace is riding with them. In the name of that almighty name, Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.